You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you!
Welcome one and all to yet another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly edition of pro wrestling news and commentary. My name's Aljon Goh, lifelong wrestling fan, joined by the heel commentator, as always, the historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
Good morning in this early morning in Nashville.
It is. It is the week of SummerSlam, and we are going to go over our picks for this weekend's pay-per-view, and also we'll let you know that this weekend we're going to be streaming live as well, doing a post-show of some of our hits and misses, whatever you think made the cut, whatever you buy into, and what didn't make the cut. We'll talk about that, hopefully with a panel of guests as well, this coming Sunday. So hopefully you'll be able to join us, and we may actually take some Twitter questions as well. We're going to try that from the comfort of the Go Abode, if you will. So
the Go Abode happens there. The Go Abode.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Once again, check out our website for all the great, cool stuff that we have going on. We have our Piper podcast that's up. We've got all the archive shows there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Social media hangs as well at Facebook and Twitter. So please like and subscribe to all of our feeds, also YouTube. And one thing you'll note, not only are we friends with the people at High Spots, because High Spots is a great place. Indie wrestling, you've got shoot videos, you've got wrestling memorabilia. You want to make sure you support our site by going there and clicking on our High Spots banner. Also, you can click the link for Amazon. You want to, you know, support the show, buy all the stuff that you ever wanted to get at the same low prices, and you know, sometimes you'll be able to get free delivery as well or free shipping. You want to make sure that you do that through our Amazon links there on our website. But last but not least, as I mentioned last time, we are now an affiliate of WWE. So please be sure to click on our new banners there at the very top. Right now, if you spend, what is it, $70 to get $15 back, it's like ridiculous. So the more you spend with WWE, the more money you get back, whether it's a $15, $25, $30, $50, whatever it is, but you get that money back. And it's instant savings, if you will. All you have to do is check out and click the banner on our website, ProWrestlingCast.com. And if you haven't, for Pete's sake, subscribed to the WWE Network to check out the four-hour event that is SummerSlam, you can also subscribe to the network using our WWE Network link on our website. That's exciting, isn't it, Steven? We're actually selling WWE on our website.
and you know, for all the kids out there, the young kids, because I know a lot of young kids must listen to this podcast.
Because we are live and uncensored after all.
Right. I just wanted to say that if I'm not mistaken, WWE Shop has quite a few John Cena t-shirts.
Yeah, they do. They have his brand new SummerSlam shirt. But one thing that you could get if you wanted to is a Suplex City shirt. So you could get your trip to Suplex City and sponsor Jimmy John's on the back as well. So
Jimmy John.
Get the whole Brock Lesnar outfit going. Or maybe if you so choose, you can also get the Ryback shirt, because maybe you like to eat Jimmy John's and you're hungry all the time. So you could also do that as well.
That looks like a lot of protein in his diet, Ryback.
It is a lot. It is a lot. So let's go ahead and get into it. I think what we're going to do, unless you have some other tidbits you want to throw in before we get into our SummerSlam picks, Stephen, is simply talk about SummerSlam and our picks.
Yes.
So the lead up and the build up to this year is a 4-hour star-studded event hosted by Jon Stewart, no doubt.
Right.
As he says goodbye to his Daily Show, he says hello to the world of the WWE. I speculate this is not going to be the last time Jon Stewart is going to host a show. What do you think?
I think Jon Stewart now has to find other things to do that are fit into his schedule. He seems to have a good relationship with him, which is kind of interesting to me. I'm not sure how this all really got started. I usually would know something like that, but
he's a fan.
Do you think that's what it is? You think
Stewart is a huge fan of the WWE. He's guested on many shows.
Right.
He's always had WWE people on the Daily Show. But it's interesting to me, and I know that, and I'm not going to get into the politics per se. He has a very good relationship with the McMahons. And for the McMahons to be on one side of the political spectrum and supposedly Stewart on the other side of the spectrum, it makes for strange bedfellows, to say the least. So,
well, the McMahons are definitely Republicans, and Linda Rand is a Republican in Connecticut, and he's obviously got a left-wing comedy show for years now. I think Vince McMahon likes one thing more than politics and Republicans, and that's money.
Yes.
Now, he's proven that for quite a while now. And Stewart's a pretty funny guy. He was a great guest. It's rare for them to have a celebrity that gets the show and does a good job. You know, I'm thinking of Jeremy Piven saying Summerfest and things like that. And
oh, that was so funny.
Or sometimes it's just Mark's mugging in the ring, you know, like Mike Tyson or Snoop Dogg or, you know, there's a lot of guys that did that.
Seth Green.
Seth Green especially. But here's a guy that likes the show, is an old school fan, it seems like.
Yes.
And, you know, people always like that. He's like, I'm an old school fan. Okay, I'm an old school fan. But, you know, he's one of those types of guys. He seems to understand the show and understand how to put on a good performance and not make it look stupid and not kind of make fun of the show at the same time putting on a good. He did a really good job when he appeared with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was impressed with that. One of the best guests they've had in their guest years, which has been going on for quite a while now, if you look at it.
Yeah, I agree. It's good stuff there. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays into this whole situation. So let's go ahead and run down the card really quick, if you will. And Summerfest seems to have
Can I say this? I like to say Summer Slime because in SummerSlam... In SummerSlam 1995, which was great only because of the Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match, they had the main event of Mabel against Diesel. It was a really poor main event. It's a very long, weird, undercardy SummerSlam. I do enjoy it because I enjoy that era. And right in the, I think in the second match, Vince, screws up and says, SummerSlam. Excuse me, SummerSlam. I just never, and always, if SummerSlam seems weird, I just say SummerSlam because Vince Freudian slipped, like, you know, Barry Horowitz isn't like a featured undercard match of SummerSlam. This is SummerSlam. Oh, so that's why I say SummerSlam. It's from his mouth.
It's from his own mouth. From SummerSlam, one of the major matches of SummerSlam happens to deal with the Cold Fish and the Russian Fish. We've got Dolph Ziggler with Lana, the newly face. I'm letting my hair down. Lana, hot as hell, with Rusev, and Summer Rae, also hot. I never really am a big fan of Summer Rae, but you know she does have the legs. It's not quite Stacey Keibler legs, but it's very good. It's very good.
Stacey Keibler, so, selected for wrestling. Summer Rae's, yeah, sure.
Yeah, she's very leggy. So here we go. What's going to happen on this particular match? What do you say?
Well, you know, I'd like to see Lana just turn back and go back to the way we had it. This has been a disaster. I said it would be a disaster. It has been a disaster. They finally got a good pop by taking Ziggler off of TV for 4 to 6 weeks and having him come back. I like Ziggler. I know he's got a new contract and all this spunk, and he's talking real good about the company again. So I guess everything's okay. So I expect they'll give him a big babyface win. And then hopefully sometime in the near future, Lana turns on him. But they've killed Rusev. Ziggler is what he is. They've definitely killed Lana, one of the best new attractions they had going for quite a while now. And Summer Rae benefited slightly. I mean, they had this is a case where they had a storyline. They went with it. And now they have to pay it off with a babyface win. And if they decide to go a different direction, they will. I see Ziggler getting a win because he has a new contract. And Rusev's been stale for a while. He is funny in this position, but he just, in real life, he doesn't want to lose his woman. So that's kind of why he's in this angle. But I see them always being in the same angle because they're married.
That's true. And the other thing that's very interesting about this whole angle is it's just funny to see them react. And what I like about this is Rusev and Lana. Honestly, it's just the best because Rusev is just gold in terms of his reaction. Lana, she's trying very hard to be face, very hard, because she's got this whole like, yay, look at me, you know, go Dolph Ziggler, you know, just her being a cheerleader is just hilarious.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate this feud for what it is. I'm sorry, rivalry. I can appreciate this rivalry for what it is.
Right.
Let me not make any mistake. Yeah, I do feel that Ziggler is going to be on top, and he's going to be in the contention for some secondary title. So
how wonderful.
Yeah. Once again, he's pushing Jericho limits in terms of secondary title ownership, so we'll see what happens on that.
He will never be a Chris Jericho.
He will never be a Chris Jericho.
Being quite honest with the IWC,
he is a lady killer. Apparently, he's making moves on Total Divas, and I don't know if there's a diva that he hasn't dated. To be quite honest, Dolph Ziggler. So
well, that is so wonderful that he's a whore. I'm really impressed. But you know, he'll have to deal with that one day. But
yeah, that's right.
That's another story for another time.
That's all right.
I'm not impressed with this Megadeth jacket. Felt wrong.
The Divas division is heating up during SummerSlam. So you've got Paige's team versus the Bellas versus Team Bad. So this is going to be a tag team elimination match. So this is seemingly Teddy Long is here in spirit. what do you say, boss? Who's going to come out on top and why? Why do you think?
Okay, they've screwed this sucker up from the beginning. They really should have introduced these girls probably one every month. They kind of put them all out. It is what it is. But just on a grand scheme of things, it's always built to this match, right? The moment that they got called up and Stephanie did the introduction and gave them ridiculous nicknames and surnames and acronyms, whatever you want to call it. What do they call it? PCB? PCP?
Well, they used to be the Submission Sorority, but I didn't like that because the initials would be the SS. So you're going to call them the SS overseas? I don't think so.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't call them the SS anywhere.
I wouldn't even call them the PCB because, Paige, Charlotte, and Becky. PCB? No.
All the names suck. They should have just pushed it like this. Sasha Banks, the NXT champion, is here. She jumped Nikki Bella. Oh, shit, who is this chick? Comes out the next week, squash match, squashes somebody. Hey, I'm the NXT champion. I'm here to, boom, drops the mic. Nikki Bella has a match. Boom, jumps her. Wins the title. Charlotte comes. Who's this girl? She was from NXT, too. They had 5-star matches. Well, 4-star. That's how they could have done this. So they all come out. Stephanie goes, we're going to play a game. Here are your names. You're called. I don't know. I know Stephanie's big shit. Look, I got nothing but respect for Stephanie McMahon. She's the best promo in the business besides Heyman. I mean, honestly, they're the two best. But they didn't do any service to the gals bringing them out this way. However, they probably told them while they were still in NXT, all right, we decided to introduce you at the same time. We're going to have a 9-woman match at SummerSlam. These girls are very hit and miss lately because they're NXT girls and they're used to practicing their matches. And then the WWE girls are kind of rough, some of them, especially Bella's and Tamina, But with a lot of time and preparation, they're usually very, very awesome. Charlotte, Sasha Banks did their matches over and over again. Best women's matches I've seen in WWE, and I don't even know one better, to be honest with you. So I think they'll actually put together a good match because they will give them time. They'll probably give them 15 or 20 minutes, and it'll be a good match. I wish they would have done this all differently. I don't like where we're at. I don't feel like Sasha Banks is seen as something special. I feel like they've tried to push Charlotte to a degree because they get the natural Pavlovian dog reaction to the Flair name because he is internally over forever and ever. Amen. They needed to figure out a way to push Lynch and all these people. And I'm just disappointed in how they pushed it. But I do think that this match will be a lot better than what we've been seeing. And I don't know.
I agree. So who goes over?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Probably Charlotte. I seem to like her. I don't know why.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I happen to believe that Nikki Bella is going to pin somebody.
That would be excellent.
I just feel that right now she has to have the momentum if they want to continue the angle of making her title matter. And for the past couple months, it hasn't. So I think it all has to lead to a title shot. Who's going to get the title shot? And is it going to lead to infighting amongst the factions?
I hope so.
We'll see, you know. But I, you know, and it is what it is. I agree with you. I believe that they brought in the women way too soon, and they should have staggered it out. But I will say that a standout to me, believe it or not, I love all the NXT talent, which is great. Sasha Banks is awesome, but I believe probably two of the most underutilized divas on that entire roster is actually going to be Alicia Fox and Naomi, because they actually can work, and they know how to work a big crowd, and they just haven't been able to cut amongst all the rest of the new shinies and whoever's on top who... Right. I think, you know, they can work okay. You know, I think the Bellas are okay, not the best. And I do agree that Tamina is a little rough, man. Boy,
She's had the most trouble thus far in the Revolution.
So, right, right.
But, you know, by the way, the Sasha Bella match didn't really blow me away like I was hoping it would. So that was really disappointing to see that on this past Raw. I thought they would have knocked it out the park. That seemed like a natural match to set up a future title match where Sasha takes the title. Man, I think she should take the title, and it just really let me down. When I saw that, I said, man, this isn't working. That's when I decided to make this statement, because that was official to me that it wasn't working then.
Maybe the agents should step in and really help the girls out, because I think that the NXT girls amongst themselves can have great matches, and the WWE divas possibly can have decent, you know, matches by themselves, but maybe when the two of them get together, it just hasn't worked out.
There's some synergy issues. I don't know what it is, or lack of synergy is the issue.
Right. We shall see. We shall see. It's going to be interesting for sure. And I think it's going to lead up. We're probably going to see a lot more of this leading up to, what is it? Survivor Series. So we'll have to see. Maybe there'll be a fourth faction that ends up coming along, you know? So we'll see.
Be a better match for Survivor Series. It seems like
What I was hoping. I was hoping to see that during Survivor Series, and this is not what we're getting. So
yeah, it's been odd so far, but they will try very hard to have a good match. I do know that. I can promise that. Yeah. They will try very hard and may actually have an awesome match.
I agree. Speaking of work rate, having an awesome match, we have here what a lot of internet marks would happen to appreciate: Kevin Owens versus Cesaro, and they're going one on one for nothing. What's at stake here?
The internet is at stake. The internet.
I think Kevin Owens is going to do the job. So.
It's going that direction. I've never seen somebody fall off this quick. They've really blamed him for their business metrics falling off in their ratings, which is ridiculous. If you're going to blame anyone for the summer's low ratings, blame the 3-hour broadcast, blame the booking. But it wasn't Owens. Owens has been my favorite guy this year, and the way they've booked him lately has greatly decreased my like of their program. Just on a personal lever. Hello? Just on a personal level.
And your personal lever.
I'm a very, very personal lever that he doesn't know about. But
well, let's see what kind of reaction he gets. I mean, they are fighting, after all, in the city.
Well, he'll get a huge reaction. He has a big following in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. His Ring of Honor work, if you like Kevin Owens, do yourself a favor and just watch old Kevin Steen on Ring of Honor and on YouTube. Or, you know, you can get things from High Spots that have, like, best ofs with him. And that's the Kevin Owens that I want to watch. He had so many great matches, and... He even had a great match.
Have a personality. He's a fun dude.
He's the only guy that actually did it right. He had the personality. He had the promo ability. He had a different type of look, and he was Ring of Honor wrestler. So 1 out of 4 is usually what you get. He had pretty much 4 out of 4. He's the best Ring of Honor independent wrestling looking guy I've seen in years. And they are punishing us now for not popping the ratings. So they will most likely do something that will annoy internet people, because that is honestly what Vince likes to do. Mm-hmm. So I think he would. So what could you do to annoy people? Well, you can have Owens tap out. You could have the match, really, which if you really wanted to fuck with people, you could have the match go 6 or 7 minutes. That's the thing that would really make people maddest.
Also, well, it would make them mad too, because I know Cesaro, he'll put him in the crippler crossface and then he'll tap out and it'll crippler be
more. Crossface. Are we allowed to say that anymore?
I just said it.
I don't like this.
No one else is going to say it. I'm going to say it because we know that's what he's doing. I mean, you know. So
let's just call it the STFU.
Okay.
The STF is what that move is.
Yes.
That it's an old Japanese submission. So if anybody wants, just call it the STF, this stupid STFU crap and all this. Yeah, but you're right. It's a crippler crossface. That's what it is. We've seen it a million times. We saw Sid Vicious tap out to it in that incredible pay-per-view at WCW. The one right before
you know what, Kristen there. Kristen, my wife, just saw the footage of Sid Vicious breaking his leg off the
top. No, I don't want to talk about.
She was like, "Oh my god, what?" I just turn it off, please. And I said,
"You know, I just did surgery on myself, and it was not successful, as I told you, right?" And I can do that, but I can't watch that clip. I just don't like it.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right.
Shit, babyface for life in my mind.
I gotta say that. No kidding, man.
So, okay, well, I'll pick Chris Benoit to go over Sid then.
Okay.
But they'll have an out.
Yeah, I think Cesaro is going to win, and we'll see what happens. Hey, prove me wrong, please, WWE. Prove me wrong.
I would love for them to go 20 minutes, but I bet they cut their match short that annoys internet people. That's my real prediction, because they love
in a four-hour show. Yeah, in a four-hour show, they're going to cut it short.
That'll be fun.
This will be interesting. Speaking of baby faces, you have the Arrows versus the villains, you know, the Legion of Doom, if you will. You have the Green Arrow, Steve Amell, and the Red Arrow, Mr. Neville, versus Stardust and King Cosmic King Barrett.
Uh-huh.
And they're teaming up for the celebrity match of the night. And the lead up has been very interesting, to say the least. Cody Rhodes being his outspoken, charismatic self. I like his promos a lot. Mm-hmm. Cosmic King Barrett giving him something to do and a brand new kind of cape, making him this super villain duo, which I actually like.
Yeah, I do like it.
And the Arrows, it makes perfect sense. Green Arrow, Red Arrow, it makes sense. So, I think that we're going to see the good guys come out on top, because Stephen Amell is signed on. You know, something's going to happen. Good guys are going to come out on top. Bad guys are going to be, they're going to take the cowardly way out and shovel off into the corner and, you know, run and retreat to fight another day. That's what I say. Stephen, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, Stardust could, he can use this sort of help. Neville certainly can use some help. Obviously, there's no hope for Wade Barrett. It's almost like he's a grizzled old veteran like Kane or something at this point. The way they book him, it's funny. Cosmic King, like it. But sounds like a drug trip. But he's tripping on that PCP. That's what's going
on. That's right.
I know Stephen Amell busted his face up, working out for the match. I'm surprised they didn't work that into the angle. But I guess, you know, again, when a writer's writes them, they kind of stick with it, just like we were saying before. I guess the baby faces go over because it's a celebrity. But, you know, Neville can use a hand. And, you know, boy, you talk about guys that haven't booked well. Kevin Owens, Neville, Barrett. We're naming them all right now. So it's been sad. Baby faces go over. And then what?
Well, and then what? Yeah, that's my question. Where does it leave Neville? Where does it leave the two bad guys at the end of the day? King Barrett is once again out of a job.
By the way, I have no idea who Stephen Amell is. If you can tell me who it is, I don't know.
Oh, no. He's the actor that's in the WB series Arrow, which is the Green Arrow from DC Comics, you know, the same universe as a.
Right. You know, I know that is. Well, I know the comic. Is that a popular show?
Yeah, it's a very popular show.
Really? The WB has a pop. I haven't watched TV in so long. That's.
Yeah, I actually watch a little bit of the Arrow. I haven't watched it in a while, but I do watch The Flash, and the two of them are crossover, so it's very, very good.
You have a Flash show, too. That's interesting.
Yep, yep, yep. DC Comics coming back, man.
Yeah, well, I remember all those comics. That's what's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens at the show for sure. More importantly, it'll be interesting to see what happens after the fact.
I bet Stephen Amell does some good little stuff, too. He seems athletic for him.
He's very athletic, indeed. You know, jumping over the top rope and doing a Fez press and
he's lucky he didn't have
his forearm shots.
He's lucky he didn't have a Sid Vicious moment with that jumping over. I don't know if I'd do that fast.
You ain't kidding. No, he's definitely in shape for sure.
That would have been awesome if he'd have done that. I hate to say that, but it would have been all over the news. Like, look what that Stephen Amell did. Oh,
I know, right? Oh my God. Oh my God.
Best leg break ever.
Second leg, best leg break.
Hey, Stephen Amell versus Chris Benoit submission match.
Wow. There you go.
I know who I'm putting over.
There you go. So here we go. We've got once again a super stacked card for SummerSlam. We have got the Los Matadores versus New Day versus Brand New Day versus Old Day versus Lucha Dragons versus Primetime Players. It's like 27 tag teams in one match.
Yeah.
Steven. This is for the tag team titles in a fatal four-way match. I don't see any titles.
New Day goes over and wins the titles and turns babyface.
Okay.
I'll go with that. I pray that that's what's going on. I think that's
everybody's a babyface. Everybody's a babyface here. So I don't understand it. So
yeah. Well, I know the Los Matadores, who we should have talked about a little bit more in our racism show. And I mean, really, that's ridiculous.
Dear Lord.
And I think they've given a nice run to what's his face with the tag belts. Players. Oh yes. And I would push more the idea with them that Darren Young is, push the idea of who he actually is in his real life and how that's not how that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think they kind of missed the boat on that. They could have just say that, mentioned Darren Young's boyfriend or whatever every now and then, but then never bring it up. I think they would really look like they were ahead of the curve on athletics, which is so homophobic still, especially football and basketball to some degree, which isn't as bad from what I understand. But I think they should have done that with him. They really missed the boat on looking like they were a sensitive company, which is almost impossible for them. But they are. They've always been sensitive in a situation where there's someone gay or several gay people in the locker room. It was never an issue. Everyone was out. It was what it was. And they should show that they're sensitive and cool. Just totally cool. Like Darren Young's gay, but whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
They missed the boat on that. And then they have Father of the Year with the other dude. So boom, that's perfect.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree to a certain extent, too, and how they shouldn't make a big deal out of it. But they haven't made a deal about it really at all. To the casual fan, it's business as usual. So at the end of the day, the New Day, I think you're right. I think the New Day is going to wear the titles. But because if they're going to be the heels, okay. But they're still, I mean, their faces, they get a face pop for his heels. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I don't know if they'll ever transition to having the Lucha Dragons go anywhere.
Lucha Dragons, Vince decided he doesn't like. I've heard.
Really?
So that happened a while back, and we can kind of backtrack to where that probably happened. But yeah, he gave up for some reason. He gave up on that idea, and everybody was like, "No, they're really." So that's why you never see him on TV. They have very small roles. They have a small role in this. I don't know what it was, but at some point he gave up on them.
That's a damn shame, because I think people like to do the Lucha thing, and the Luchas are actually very exciting. You can't beat the debut of the Lucha Dragons. The Lucha Dragons made an awesome mark, and it's a shame where they are now. They should let's stand behind the Lucha Dragons. I like those guys.
I'll try to. I know how this goes, and I know there's no reason for me to.
So can you tell me how this goes?
Mm-hmm.
We've got 2/3 of the Shield, Ambrose, Reigns versus the Wyatt family. So this has been a very bizarre lead up. It doesn't seem right. Something's off about this to me.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what it is. Chemistry wise, it's everything that you think you wanted on paper. Chemistry wise, I don't think it's really happened at all. I think there's been interesting moments between Ambrose and Reigns. It's good to see them as a tag team to some degree. but something's missing. I'm not really sure what. And I think it would actually do a lot of good if the Wyatts came out on top this time. What do you think?
I think what's missing is Sting. I really, the source I read, you know, said why Sting was coming in and then why Sting wasn't there. They freaked out from the ratings. They said, let's bring in Sting and Lesnar. Taker, Lesnar, and Sting in a big, you know, we'll hide him in a six-man. Lesnar and Taker got over so good, they said, let's hold Sting off. He's special anyway. Sting should have been in this match, and then there should have been a new Wyatt member who, I forgot who it was supposed to be. It wasn't Bo Dallas, though, and Eric Rowan's hurt. So they went with the tag match, and it's been incredibly boring booking. And that's what's happened. I really haven't been impressed with it. I'm sure this was always designed to get Reigns to have a big pay-per-view win. There's still some disconnect with Reigns. Reigns is a great worker. Reigns has a great look. Ambrose is a really fun worker with a cool chemistry with him. The Wyatts look great. They have great promos. They're solid workers. I don't know. It's just not interesting. It just didn't work because it worked last. The Wyatts against the Shield last year with Rollins and Rowan involved. Got huge pops and huge reactions for their six man. And this, I think they were trying to capitalize off of that same idea. But look how much things have changed since then. Obviously, early on, people are stronger in a faction. And now as a singles, I still expect them to try to push Reigns as the top babyface one more time. I know Vince, he'll give it one more go. And if it doesn't work again, he will give up. I know that. But he will try to push Reigns one more time. That's why I think he will win and get the pin over probably Wyatt.
It's so interesting to see in this world of the mid cards that we live in right now, right, how many slots are set aside for top tier talent.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of space on top, folks. And for someone to break through is going to take a genuine movement from the people in order to put him there. The void left by Daniel Bryan and his injury is felt, still felt, and it's a sad state of affairs. You know, there is, and John Cena being elevated back into that spot feels forced. Brock Lesnar still being on top makes perfect sense. Rollins rather being there still makes sense, but man, it's hard, man. Daniel Bryan's absence is felt, and it's so and it's even sucks.
In the undercard, if we would have Daniel Bryan against Owens, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know, right?
Good God.
That's the one thing people don't talk about is,
you can't imagine how good that match is if you haven't seen it.
Oh, well, if you haven't seen it, why don't you look up some old ROH? Why don't you do that?
Okay, I will.
Do that. we got a few more matches, and we'll call it a day. The big Ryback with the Intercontinental title is going up against Big Show and Miz in a three-way. He's defending it. He's back. He made a pretty good impact, I believe, when he did make his return from this really vicious staph infection that he had, man. It would take down a normal man and you know, someone of his fortitude came back early.
Yeah.
And wow. And to be honest, Miz is really making this feud for me. His mouth is just gold. I think Ric Flair has I listened to his podcast not too long ago, and he really is up on the Miz. And I have always been a Miz supporter. I really like the Miz. I think he's got charisma. He can talk and he can work. And it would be interesting to see what happens here. Steven, what do you say?
the five-star match, probably. No, I think Ryback, I think Ryback goes over clean to get him the babyface when he really hasn't gotten yet in a huge setting. And that's the way to do it. He gets really good pops at house shows. He's been out for a while. The people still are clamoring for whatever reason for him. He has a good look. He's a decent guy. His matches have left a lot to be desired for me personally. I think for WWE, they're probably fine with his matches. And, you know, having to rebuild him after they kind of crushed him off in, what was it, 2011 with the CM Punk thing and where he jobbed, I think they've finally come back and done something with him. So I will commend them for that. I'm not particularly looking forward to the match. If the Big Show goes over or something, you know, that would be the only thing that would interest me because I would wonder why. But yeah, I see him hitting Big Show with the shell shock.
Right. I do too. And this is a way, if done properly, they can rebuild a Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. This is the template in which they can do it. Give an opportunity for Roman Reigns to earn that, which I believe in the eyes of many fans already has. Give him a secondary championship. Let him defend it for 6 months. Put him on a big stage at one of the big pay-per-views and let him go over like a boss and then see what happens from there. Because there is that void, the void from Daniel Bryan left. It was supposed to be taken up by Ryback, and they're going to try to get back on track on this pay-per-view event. So I you and I see the same.
Yeah, I think it was. I see that happening too.
Right on. God damn, this card is crazy big. Right. SummerSlam, we've got U.S. champion Cena versus heavyweight champion for champion against Rollins. Cena's winning, and he's going to have the titles, and it's going to be very interesting. That's what I see.
I hope not. But that might be what they're going to do. I think it might just be a situation where we see Cena possibly in a DQ situation in a main event, which is a very rare thing to have happen. I only say that because it's coming so far before the other, you know, it's coming before a larger main event with Taker. So if you want to get Rollins over, have him have two belts and then have him put over your babyface guy at Survivor Series, or hold him off until Reigns all the way till next year. Leave the belt on him a year. This maybe should have been the huge clean win that Cena lost to an up-and-comer instead of Owens in retrospect. I bet if they had it back, they would do it this way. Mm-hmm. But I don't see where you go with Cena's babyface champ right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I do still see Cena coming out with the belt. And
it just feels like that'll happen, doesn't it?
It does. It just feels that way. And I don't know what the status will be on the United States Championship at that point. I don't know. Very strange. Now,
have once a great again, match,
I feel like we've seen this match before. Yeah.
We have.
Well, the Mr. Money in the Bank. Mr. Money in the Bank versus Orton. Unfortunately, Sheamus, I think, is going to win, keep momentum on him to make it look like the Money in the Bank means something. You feel that way?
Completely agree. Sheamus wins. Big win over a big baby, really their top baby face, if you gauge it. And, you know, he comes away with a big win and And then, unfortunately, you're going to see, you know, you might just see the SummerSlam surprises, the cash in. So let's say he goes over Orton. I would get very nervous if Orton went over clean in a long match, because then that would make me think Cena was going to win and Sheamus would cash in. Let's hope that's not going to happen. But Sheamus is going to get the title, and everybody just better deal with that at some point, including yours truly. I just have to deal with that, because he's going to get that damn title, that stupid Sheamus.
Well, I don't have a problem necessarily with Sheamus having the title. I just don't understand where it's going to go from there.
Right. Well, who cares if he has the title?
What do you do? What do you do?
He can work a fine main event. I don't have it, but it's like, he's been on my TV for a while now. He's been on consistently since 2009 without end, feels like.
I just don't understand, too, why they aren't doing more with Randy Orton. You know, the whole RKO stuff is still hot. You know, the RKO viral videos are still very hot. And I think it would do him do WWE a lot of justice and a good service if he just RKOs people out of nowhere, just like in those memes, you know, to just have him, you know, go crazy.
If I know their strategy, it's because they feel like he's comfortably over and there are other people they need to get over. So they just leave him in situations that don't hurt him because he's over and there are other people they really want to get over. People like Rollins want to get over more, Reigns.
They should put him in a program with him, because literally there's a difference. They can make Randy Orton white hot, and they don't.
He didn't prove himself as a big money draw. He just proved himself as a consistent good champion and babyface and heel. He never drew extra money like a John Cena. Although he's one of the top three sellers, he's not a guy that moves the meter. And right now they want someone to move the meter, and for some reason they think it's Reigns. I don't know why.
Well, I tell you know what could help move the meter if they book him properly with really cool stuff for him to do, and to have an RKO out of nowhere t-shirt that has basically the oversized Randy Orton head and little body, you know, sneaking up and doing like all kinds of stuff. Dude, that's how you do it. I would buy an RKO out of nowhere from our own WWE shop link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Cha-ching!
But the thing about it is they are like an ancient race of people trapped deep in the forest who have lived there for years, and they no longer see the forest for the trees. They are deep inside of WWE land, and they don't see it from an outside easy to see perspective. They've proven
That's so easy.
But they don't know. They're not a normal human anymore, most of them.
Well, they're leaving a lot of money on the table, in my opinion.
They're monsters.
Because Randy Orton, to me, is he can be the man. He really can. If they put the merchandising, the John Cena push behind him, he would do it. I believe in Randy Orton. Last but not least, I also believe in The Undertaker. And with The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, I think that even though I would see Brock Lesnar over Undertaker being a positive to the storyline and to build Brock Lesnar moving forward, it just seems to me like it's a natural foregone conclusion that The Undertaker would get his comeuppance after this year and a half long absence, you know, after WrestleMania 30. So what do you think? Is that plausible?
Who does Undertaker fight at WrestleMania in Texas? Lesnar, right?
Gotta be.
Okay, then Lesnar goes over. Lesnar goes over and Taker gets the win back at WrestleMania. That's what I think. Unless if they do Sting Taker, which I hear they don't want to do for some reason. This is all that crazy old guy's ideas, by the way, not mine. Or the company itself or anybody involved. It's Vince. But he didn't want to do Sting Taker. If you're not going to do Sting Taker, have Taker look like he's going to win in a dramatic match. And boy, this one better be better than that damn WrestleMania shit match, which is only good because they had the most shocking match ending of all time. Basically, yes. Lesnar went over and scared several people to their shocked faces in the front row of New Orleans. Now,
what do you expect? The Undertaker got his shell shocked. His bell was rung, and I don't think he could work after getting his bell rung.
Well, why wouldn't that happen again?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's in better shape now than he was then. My point being, if they want to do a huge match at Texas, they could say, I could give a good stip. But if he fights and fights and fights like he's going to win, then Lesnar beats him again. It'll be a good dramatic ending. And then Taker can say, Taker can come out more shooty and say, give me one more shot at it. One more shot. You know, now if this was TNA, they would do a match where Taker would fight Lesnar at the next WrestleMania to restart the streak and say that you know what I mean? I've actually seen them do stipulations like that where they'll say the streak doesn't end if they lose, even if they lose. Have you ever seen them do that? I'm reading the Death of WCW 10th Anniversary book. They have a nice TNA section. But they had a match where two guys had a streak, and they said they're going to have a match with each other because they both have a winning streak and they're undefeated, but the streak's not on the line. What do you mean it's not on the line? If you lose a match, your streak is over. That was TNA. So, with that booking logic, you say if Undertaker wins, his streak continues, and he's 24 and up to 23 and out.
Let's just pretend. Pretend. Right. Yeah, let's just pretend it didn't happen.
Talk about logic. Now, I see that Taker Lesnar. If they want to do Sting Taker, have Sting come out and cost Lesnar. Have Sting come out and cost Taker the match for whatever reason. I don't really know if you have one. Mm-hmm. He could just say, I wanted to have a WrestleMania match with you. I don't like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The bookies already.
I suspect there will be some surprises at this show. They need a pop for ratings, apparently. People need to subscribe to the network.
Yeah.
The week afterwards, people need to tune in to see what happened. Maybe subscriptions will pop after that. Right. Who knows? But you're right. You know, I think you're right. I said initially Undertaker will win. But it does make sense for Brock Lesnar too. I just want Undertaker to win. That's just that.
Really? I mean, it's not 97 Undertaker, so it doesn't matter. So
yeah, you're right.
I'm more of a mark for Lesnar now than Taker, which is
great. Well, I'm just a sentimental guy. I want the guy to win, you know, and that's all that is.
And they're going to play in your heartstrings, in my opinion, and they'll play in your heartstrings, and you'll get that win at WrestleMania. You'll pay money to see it. Not that
you're right.
Pay money, but
you're right. Well, yeah, we're gonna pay to see it on the network for sure.
Unless for some reason, money. I give money for all kind of crap, not just the network.
That has been our picks for SummerSlam. Be sure to tune in this Sunday to the WWE Network. If you haven't subscribed, please make sure you go to ProWrestlingCast.com and click on the subscription button for WWE Network, and that'll hook us up tremendously. You don't know how much it'll hook us up. It really will. And on that note, on behalf of Stephen Anthony, our Mark commentator, thank you for joining me for this show. I appreciate it.
No problem. Summer Slam.
Yes, sir.
Excuse
Summer
me.
Slime.
Summer Slam. Let me correct myself, perhaps.
That's right. That's right. So we'll see you guys Sunday night for Summer Slam. No, I can't say it right. Summer Slam. Don't forget to tuck your head and obdurate recalcitrance.
Obdurate recalcitrance. That's what he suffers from.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.